We will reconvene. And I'd like to welcome, oops, excuse me, if I can have everybody's attention. Before we start, I'd like to introduce Joseph Jimenez and, again, Gary Kinsey as our two members who will be joining us as full-fledged members at the next meeting. But would you just take a moment and tell us your position and your interest in being on the COA so we all know a little bit about you? Yes, I'm sorry. We didn't explain. That's what happens when you miss the
beginning. Taken back by the fact that all this was public and speakers and microphones and all that stuff. Joseph Jimenez, I work out of Vice City with the Tulare County Office of Education, and right now I'm assigned as a Cluster Region Director for Cluster 3 for BITSA. So, and I'm glad to be here.
Welcome. We're glad to have you here. It's a long time you'll be with us. We'll become very close friends.
Okay, fine.
Gary, I didn't have you actually introduce yourself this morning.
Okay. I'm Gary Kinsey. I'm the Associate Dean for the College of Education and Integrative Studies at Cal Poly Pomona down south. And then I also wear the intern director hat for our program. I've done that ever since I've been there. So 7 years I've been their teacher intern program person, though I teach both in education and in the teacher education world, but also in the ed admin world. That's really my primary area. And then also have a hat I wear as the region director for Region 5 for the internship programs in the state and coordinate our region of universities for Region 5.
We're glad you can find time to put us in that schedule. Welcome. I think it's really nice that we have a chance for the new members to observe for a meeting before they actually become members. Some of us just were thrown in, and it was a little overwhelming in the beginning. We're turning back to item 10, because it was a time certain. The item is accreditation report for Loma Linda. If there are any members of the committee who need to recuse themselves, will you please identify yourselves? Okay. Then I'd like to acknowledge the consultant, Jan Wadsworth Jones, who will present this item.
Good morning. We're pleased to be here this morning to bring forward the recommendations for the Loma Linda University visit that was held April 27th to 30th. I'd like to introduce members of the staff from the institution. On my far right is Dr. Beverly Buckles, who is the Dean of the School of Science and Technology. And next to her is Dr. Cheryl Simpson, the Program Coordinator of the MSN Counseling and School Counseling Certificate Program. And then on my far left is, or immediate left, is Paige Shaughnessy, who is the Academic Coordinator for the Clinical Rehab Services Speech and Language Pathology Program, and we're pleased that they're here this morning. Also with me is our team leader, Dr. Marcia Savage from Santa Clara University. This visit was unique in that while Loma Linda has far-reaching reputation in international circles with their health programs. They also have only two services credential programs, and they don't offer any teacher education direct teaching programs. The two programs that they offer are in school counseling, which is a very new program, and a very long-time program with an excellent reputation is the Clinical Rehab Services Speech-Language Pathology Program. So I'm going to let Dr. Savage share with information about our visit.
Thank you. Oh, excuse me. Thank you. It's nice to be back again. I haven't been here in quite a while. But for those of you who are new, I will tell you that when I was here 8 years ago at Sue Teal, and Ed Kajawa were here, so that just gives you an idea of how long you might actually be here. But thank you. Thank you for having us. I would like to start by just complimenting the university on the high quality of programs that they have. We had a wonderful visit. We found programs that were exceptional, that were identified by people across campus and in the community as cutting-edge programs. I think that's particularly true with the language program because it's been in existence for such a long time. And we know that that's also going to be true for the new PPS program. We had, it's a little hard, as you might, well, know, to look at a program that's so new. But what we found was that they have designed a program that is going to be preparing high-quality school counselors. And so what we found, we recommended for the both of the programs is full accreditation. We had just a very few concerns. Those were all identified as things that I think you might expect to see in a new program, things that have been designed to be implemented and that were perhaps overlooked the first year around. The faculty indicated to us that in each case they knew exactly what they had forgotten to do. And I think what you find in new programs and in small schools, and this was our major concern across the board, I think, that one person is carrying the load. And often that information is stored up here and not always written down in a way that will help facilitate that. But I do want to just mention a couple of the real strengths that we found. They have an extremely well-articulated mission. It's tied to the mission of the university as a whole. They are well-funded by their university, and I think a lot of this is tied to the fact that they are located on a campus with a lot of medical facilities, which actually enhance the programs that they offer. So resources, certainly in the form of money, are not an issue. They have highly qualified faculty. The people are complemented not only by the students but by the people in the community as being extremely dedicated, very much hands-on, one-on-one, from the very first time a student is admitted to the program until they're finished. In fact, one of the students commented to one of the team members that no matter where they go or what they do, Loma Linda will always be a part of them. And I think that really is a testament to the high quality of what they're experiencing at the university. I think there's one sentence at the end of the document that kind of sums up our concerns about the new program, and they were so minor that we couldn't do anything other than just suggest that they're concerns. And that's, I just want to read this one sentence. It says, the team recognizes that this, and this is the PPS, is a new credential program still in the early stages of development. Systematizing and consistently implementing the processes and activities of the program will strengthen candidate competency and programmatic accountability. And I felt like with that sentence, we summed up any of the concerns that we had about either of the programs. So I'll be happy to take questions if you have them. Since I haven't done this in a while, if you want more, I'll give more. If you don't want any more, I won't. I'll be quiet.
I think we'll hear from the institution first and then take questions
as
a whole, if that's right. A representative of the institution can comment now and make comments about the visit. And we're asked to remind you that this is not a time to debate the findings of the report, but to share your comments.
Just push the little gray button.
Well, I want to thank the team. They were very comprehensive and very gracious in supporting the programs and going through a very comprehensive look at what's going on. I would agree with the suggestions that are made, and we've already moved to implement for the new program, the PPS, additional staffing and support so that we're able to attend to the systematic aspects that were addressed. There will also be space added to the area of the facility components that this program operates under. Some other things are moving out of the building, and we'll shift some of that space over. I think we're well on our way to addressing those issues.
Any other comments from the institution?
From the standpoint of the speech language credential,
I would just like to say that I think the team and Jan deserve a huge pat on the back. Even though we worked really hard to prepare for the visit and had a lot of documentation in place and kind of knew what we were supposed to be doing, it was really nice to have the team come in and validate who we are and understand who Loma Linda is and look at us from that standpoint. I think that resonated with the team members and with Jan. And that is that our program, as Jan said, is unusual in the sense that we don't have a large education department on campus. The team recognized that our two programs, that Dr. Simpson and I were doing a lot of work to prepare for the visit. Nevertheless, they were validating us every moment that they were there. And we certainly appreciated it. It's nice to have that reinforcement when we've done so much work and prepared for it. And we know we have a good program, but it's very nice to have outsiders, so to speak, reinforce that.
Not move the microphone bases, turn them on and off. Joseph, could you move that other microphone over so
now don't touch it again. Jan, you can continue moving yours.
And don't just turn it on while you move it.
Okay. I'd like to add one thing. I felt very supported by the team as well. We are a new program. We accepted students 2 years ago, and we were aware we do need someone to come in and help with the field experience, which was where the observation really lay, is in the field experience. And we've already, as our dean has said, we've already contracted with a person to come and assist with that. And so I was really grateful for their recommendation. I fully support the recommendations. And I felt fully supported by the team. So I would agree with Paige. It was very nice to be validated. It's a very stress-producing experience, as most of you know, if you've been through this, but it's also a good way to look at yourself, get external review, and to get the help you need.
Great. Then I would open the floor to committee members' comments and questions. Thank you. Irma?
First of all, I want to commend you on an overall very good report. And also, the fact that you're starting a school counseling program is commendable because there's such a need in the state for programs like this. So I wish you well as that program develops. I have a question on Standard 8. The district field supervisor's standard met with concerns. I need more clarification about what specifically the concern is about. I think I know, but I'm not absolutely certain. I'm not certain whether it has to do with the fact that implementation rests solely within the program director. I'm looking at page 10.
Right. I think it was two things, really. I think it was that everything was resting within one person. And she's carried an extremely heavy load trying to implement the program, do all of this, you know, so much of the supervision, try to train all of the people who were there. I think that was primarily the issue. There is a document that's been prepared to train the supervisors, but there wasn't always that systematic, let's sit down and go through this together and make sure that all of the supervisors are on the same page. So that's a part of that last comment that you saw at the end of the document about some systematic implementation of procedures throughout the program. I think a part of that, at least the team decided that a part of that was because this is a new program and we basically had two people finishing this year. So I think it was easier for her to do that all alone than it will be when she has 20 or 25 people progressing through a program. So that was basically the issue.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
So the concern is about that task being too thinly spread.
Yes, exactly.
I could address that in that we have only four people in the field at the moment, and so it has not become burdensome, but we're on the brink of, we're right on the edge of growth. And so we've been right on the edge of when do we bring in a field coordinator. And since the visit, we've, you know, we've gotten a field coordinator who is one of our contract teachers who's highly respected and who has done this before, and so she'll be excellent. So I really don't think that field supervision has been dropped in the sense that I'm going out to the schools, I'm meeting with the field supervisors, you know, I take the students to the field myself. The team could see, and I was very open with them about that, the team could see that I need to be able to hand this off to someone to do. I think it isn't that it hasn't been done. It's just that we're right on the edge. All of the documentation is there as to what the field placements are, who the supervisors are, what all their contact information is, and I've gone and met with all of them personally, but I need help.
Yeah, so. I think if this had been a program that had been in existence for 10 or 15 years and we went in and we saw that there was only one person doing this and it wasn't always as systematic as it needed to be, it would have been a different kind of concern. But I think with this particular program, because it is so small, we knew that it was still something that she could handle. But one of the things we ask ourselves is, what happens if, heaven forbid, somebody hits her on the freeway on the way home? And everything, you know, or a lot of the information is up here. And so it was not just that she had a lot to do. It was also that there were some small pieces of information that we wanted to see written down so that if someone had to step in tomorrow and pick up her load, they would be able to do that efficiently.
That's very helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
And there was one document I failed to show Diana, which was the field manual for the coordinator of field experience with every placement, every contact information, every contact. And after she left, I thought, it was on my shelf in terms of that. So that is in a book, and we gave her all these books, and that was one that stayed on the shelf. It's a small book. There aren't that many students yet, but it's all there.
Thank you.
Next question is from Sue.
First of all, I want to say I do know what you went through. We just went through it. So I really appreciate what the time and effort that you put into this. And I'm sure that you, like we, are very happy it's over. So I have two questions that I wanted to ask you because I wasn't clear on this. And one of them's on page 6. And it has to do with 8 full-time faculty in the pupil personnel services credential, but only 10 students. And that seemed just the opposite of what the question was to you just now. That's a lot of faculty for 10 students. Now, am I to assume that they have other teaching responsibilities, so although they're full-time, they're not full-time in PPS?
That's correct. We're in a small department, but we have 4 master's degree programs, and we have 10 full-time faculty, actually. One is a clinic coordinator, and thank you. We have 3 contracts that teach nothing but school counseling courses. But we have faculty who teach courses in other areas such as research, crisis intervention, statistics, things like this, which are shared faculty. One of the comments in the report, you will see that the committee noted we have a wealth of resources and we have a critical mass of faculty. And we are really blessed in that sense. Our students have classes from a diverse group of faculty in terms of gender, ethnicity, specialization. But 4 of us are uniquely school counseling.
My second question, thank you for that, has to do with page 11. And it's where it says specialization standard 31 was found to be met with concerns. And it says the team found inconsistent verification of candidate contact hours with diverse populations. Because this happens to be one of the areas, I know you have to have 150
right.
hours of
right.
field work
right.
in the diversity, and I know where you are. So I was wondering, why would that be a problem?
It hasn't been a problem. It's that the students that are in the field right now are so ethnically diverse primarily that they haven't worked in a school where they worked. One of my Vietnamese students hasn't worked with a Vietnamese person yet. One of my Caucasian students has been in a largely Hispanic population. And so when they looked at it, they were not saying, my students are not working with diverse populations. Diana Stevens suggested we add one column that they're tabulating on one sheet their diversity, and she'd like to see it on a week-by-week basis in terms of the number of diverse students. We have no problem finding diversity for placements. We've had no problem complying with it. They've all exceeded that requirement. She would just like the documentation form to look different.
If I could just comment on that, Sue. It had nothing to do with the fact that they weren't getting diversity. It had to do with the documentation of it, and that was the only issue.
David?
Hi. I have a question on page 7 at the top, standard 1, educational leadership. First of all, I want to just compliment you on your how you solicit multiple sources for your leadership and your guidance. I think that's really important to have a lot of voices in helping you move a program along. I had a question on areas for growth and standard implementation. It says academic policies and decision making at the program level need to be vested in more than one individual. Is it similar to the situation with that Irma referred to?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Again, I could address that. We developed the program as a full faculty, and we look at the issues as a full faculty. We have 4 program directors in the department, and we meet once a month. Our advisory board includes about 12 professionals in the field, and they were instrumental in shaping the program. They've been instrumental in, although we're really new, they've been instrumental in looking at all the course syllabi and making recommendations. I think we're looking at the administration of the program, not the development. You know, I am the program director, and I take these to directors' meetings and so forth. But we have this critical mass of people, but we all certainly do have our areas of responsibility. And I certainly feel I could use help.
David, if I could just make a couple of comments on that. One of the things that I hesitate to use the word unique because it isn't unique. They are in 2 separate schools. And so one of the things that we recommended on an informal basis to them was that they needed to perhaps look into having someone that serves as maybe a credential analyst and something else. They don't really have enough students right now for a full-time credential analyst, but these 2 ladies do both, you know, all of the program development and running the programs, and they do the credential analyst jobs as well. And so we suggested that might be one alternative for them to get some additional help would be to hire someone who could do credential analyst work as well as assist them in other ways. And so I don't know if that helps or not.
We need to give directions to. All right. Any other comments, questions? Karen?
I'd just like to commend you on your accessibility to your students, not only for advising, but for the faculty and the staff. I mean, that's got to make them feel so supported and so confident when they do go out into the world of education. That's great. Thank you.
I have to say amen to that as well, because I was totally impressed when I visited with some of the administrators who told me, we call in each student individually for advising as soon as they're admitted to the program, and they just really hand guide them through everything so that they are never unsure about what it is they're supposed to do. And so I commend them as well for that.
Just a moment, there's another response to that. Go ahead.
I'd just like to add that this is the first graduating group this year. We just finished graduation. And one of the graduates of this program received the Dean's Award, which is given to an individual that it's vetted through an independent panel of faculty, and a truly exceptional individual, very dedicated, and I think she will serve the schools that she goes to well, very well.
Great. Arlinda?
My question is probably really one related to a clerical error. I'm looking at the context for your program, in other words, the institution, and I read on page 5 that you have 4,071 students at the institution, and then when we read on page 6 that there are 1,368 full-time faculty.
I'm the chair of the WASC site team, our steering committee. That is not incorrect. The predominant number of those are clinical faculty in medicine and dentistry, and many of our science programs have a one-to-one student-faculty ratio. So, and most of our programs, I know, we have an exceptional student-faculty ratio. Yeah, that's also not the most in the country, but and not the most in California, but it is a private institution. Also, our professional programs like these here have exceptional student-faculty ratios, and that is part of the quality issues that we continue to try to address. We also work very hard in addition to that.
You are very lucky. Thank you.
And I think you have a bunch of people trying to apply for jobs now.
Well, you do work hard there.
Now, given the success of the programs that are here today, do you have this is a question of interest. Do you have any other programs that you're looking to develop that are in the credentialing area down the road? Or
I have also served as chair of social work. And we did explore that as a credential option at one point. The challenge in our region is that we do not have enough people in the school districts with the credential in social work to provide the supervision. So not at this time. It would have been something we wanted to do. Our students would love us to do it. Until we have that, all of those aspects, we can't.
Seeing no other hands, this is time for public comment, but we have no public, so I think we could probably skip over that. No visitors today. So I'm opening the floor for motions. I'm opening the floor for a motion, and there are two ways that we've been doing this recently because of the biennial report. We can offer one motion that recommends the accreditation status with follow-up on specific items, or we can take it as two motions, one with the accreditation status as you wish it to be, and then a second motion on the follow-up. So, is there a preference to how you want to proceed? Ed?
Yeah, I just make a motion to accept the accreditation report as is without any follow-up?
You're moving to accept the recommendation as is on page 3?
Yes.
With no follow-up?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
David? Seconded by David. Any discussion?
My only concern about making that recommendation without any follow-up is that because it is a new program, there may be some rapid change, and within the next maybe month or years, it might be good to have a follow-up just to see how the progression is going as they develop the new program.
Also, on the idea of follow-up, it may be something we just want to ask that they include in their biennial report, which they have to do anyway. It wouldn't be a separate report. Just ask that it come in their biennial. If that's that, I guess I can do that. So I'm suggesting that as an amendment. Very friendly.
I'm assuming that that's part of the biennial report anyway. In other words, that you still have to submit a biennial report, that it's not we're giving them permission not to submit a biennial report, but that the motion is accepted, but that they have to submit a biennial report. My assumption would be, given the quality of the report, that what they would be addressing in their biennial report would include.
Terry? I'd like to clarify a little bit. We had an agenda item at the May meeting where we talked about specifically your accreditation decision and then this idea of required follow-up. And remember, there's a seventh-year report in your system. Now, if there's no follow-up at all from this discussion, there is no report next year for the institution. If you want them instead to talk about their counseling program briefly in next year's report, it's a two-pager. This is what we've been doing since then. That's the required follow-up. But it does not affect their accreditation decision whatsoever. They still would show us full accreditation because follow-up can be in place now for anyone. For any program. What that does is it allows the staff to make sure that we do follow up with that one specific issue with the program.
Sue.
Thank you for clarifying that, because I was struggling with what you were saying, Lynn, when you did the recommendation, which is why I'm glad you did the recommendation. But I think that needs to be stated in the recommendation, because this is new territory for us. And if it isn't, it's going to be lost. And I think that what you said, I would like to figure out how we could state that in the recommendation, if Ed would be willing to do that, and David would be willing to do that.
If Ed would accept it, it would be accept the recommendation on page 10 that we grant full accreditation with page 3. I'm sorry, it's item 10. Page 3. Grant full accreditation and require that the items of concern be addressed in the biennial, is follow-up in the biennial report, seventh year follow-up, which is two pages.
So that's how the motion will read. Okay.
If the people accept that, the Ed and whoever seconded, yeah. Okay, then that's how the motion would read. Any discussion? Further discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Congratulations. Thank you. This is an exciting